Let's read today's scripture, which is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 39. And I'm reading from modern King James version of the Bible. And when 8 days were fulfilled to circumcise the child, his name was called Jesus, the name called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were fulfilled, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle dove or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it happened to him, being instructed by the Holy Spirit, he was not to see death before he would see the Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and as the parents brought in the child Jesus to do according to the custom of the law concerning him, even he received him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you will let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken by him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this one is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign spoken against you, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in many days and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, serving God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at the instant, gave the thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those in Jerusalem, eagerly expecting redemption. And when they had finished all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this season, season that we not only can give each other presents and gifts and celebrate in family, but also encourage each other and wish each other and tell each other about the beautiful Savior. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, who came down as a baby. And thank you, Lord, for this fact that this Jewish boy and his birth is celebrated around the world. And we ask you that There is no room for any anti-Semitism in any Christian heart, in any Muslim heart, or any other religious people, or just simple people hearts. Please remove this evil from this planet Earth, from this surface of this planet. Lord, we ask that you would bring peace and understanding that this Jewish history, story that happened 2,000 years ago, this Bethlehem story, this angels appearing to the shepherds story, this story of Simeon and Anna, this Jewish story happened 2,000 years ago, had changed the whole history of this planet, of this world. And Jesus, the Messiah, that has been sent to redeem the fallen children of Israel became our Messiah, and we were grafted into the ancient root. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for us to get to know this Messiah and become part of his family. And now we can proclaim and celebrate that Jesus is the Lord and he is the Messiah for all the peoples in the world, for all the nations, all the tribes, all cultures. We thank you, Lord, for this time, and thank you for this time that we can close this year with worship, with celebration of you, our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Every holiday season, we're still deep in the holiday season, you know that, right? And you know, there will be another Christmas in just a few days, and we spoke about this just a little earlier, and the Eastern Christians will be celebrating Christmas on the January 7th. And you know, January 7th, it's actually December 25th, believe it or not, according to the old Julian calendar, which was before the Gregorian calendar, which we live now. The both church, the church and the society, our countries and stuff. But the Orthodox Church, they kept that old ancient calendar, so the December 25th will fall on January 7th. So wish your Orthodox, maybe Greek or Russians, Ukrainian friends or family members, wish them Merry Christmas one more time. Why not, right? So we're still deep in the holiday season. And of course, every holiday season, as I said, I remember my good friend and neighbor, his name was Yasha Hanukov. Reverend Anderson probably remember him well. A Mountain Jew from Azerbaijan. He passed away about 7-8 years ago. But the reason I remember him this time of year is that this time of year was his favorite. He loved Hanukkah, of course, as a Jew. And, you know, his last name was actually Hanukov. No wonder why he loved this. He loved Hanukkah very much. Even his last name confirmed it, as I said. He also loved Christmas, believe it or not. He said, that was so wonderful that the whole world celebrates the birthday of a Jew, a Jewish rabbi. So Yasha was a Jew who loved Christmas. And today's text, we see two more Jewish people who were very happy about the birth of this baby. These people were named Simeon and Anna. And we will find them in Jerusalem. Temple in Jerusalem. And let us go through this text one more time, passage by passage. And first, let's take a look at the passage in chapter 2, 21 to 24, and we will see the significance of fulfillment of the law in these passages. And when 8 days were fulfilled to circumcise the child, his name was called Jesus, or you probably know that Yeshua in Hebrew, the name called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her, means Miriam, Mary, purification according to the law of Moses were fulfilled, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that set in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Look how the scripture emphasizes here that the coming of the Messiah relates to the fulfillment of the law and how important that fact was. Three times in just in these verses we can read that everything was to fulfill the law. The law commanded that every boy be circumcised on the eighth day. Done. On the same day, he was given the name Jesus, or in Hebrew, Yeshua, as I said, which means God saves. The law commanded a woman to purify herself after childbirth. For the first 7 days, the woman was considered ritually unclean. For the next 33 days, she was not allowed to enter the temple or to touch any sacred objects. After the birth of the girl, actually, the time doubled. So she gave birth to a boy, and after everything was done, she came, and her and her husband with Jesus came to the temple and brought the sacrifice. Done. The law commanded that every firstborn male, not only among the people, but also among the livestock, be dedicated to God and brought to the temple. Done. The law commanded that a sacrifice be offered depending on the family's wealth. As a purification offer, the mother was to bring a lamb and a dove, or a turtle dove, or a pigeon. So based on this sacrifice, we knew that Joseph and Mary were poor family. They were poor. They couldn't afford to bring a lamb as a sacrifice, but turtle dove and pigeons were brought. Okay, done. Mary's sacrifice was the offering of a poor woman. It is done. Jesus himself repeatedly stated during his earthly ministry that he came not to destroy, but to fulfill the law. Like in Matthew 5:17-18, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, not one jot or not one title shall in any way pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Not imperfectly like a man, but as God. God incarnate in man. The Son of God and the Son of Man. But what does it mean to fulfill the law? When we talk about the law, it's not just a set of rules, right? It is a divine manifesto that defines the relationships between the fallen creature and the Creator, the Lord, the imperfect creation and the perfect Creator. A manifesto that clearly defines that the creation cannot be together with its Creator because of their sinfulness, unless the Creator mercifully allows it to approach him with a sacrifice and with shedding of blood. Therefore, the Creator himself goes to meet his fallen creation and call himself their God and calls them his people. When Jesus came, he came down to put a seal into this manifesto by offering himself as a perfect sacrifice, crucified on the cross, shedding his blood. He became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, everyone who believes in him receives God's grace. Truly, truly becomes part of God's people, being grafted into the ancient root, getting these covenantal promises from the Lord. And God becomes their God. This is what the fulfillment of the law truly means. Let's move on and let's see verses 25 to 32. And we will see a man named Simeon. You know, he has a nickname, Simeon the God Receiver. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it happened to him, being instructed by the Holy Spirit, he was not to see death before he would see the Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and his parents brought in the child Jesus to do according to the custom of the law concerning him. Even he received him in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now you will let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon is described as a religious and devout man waiting for the consolation. The Greek word used here is paraklesis, which is similar to the word that is used in John chapter 16 when Jesus describes the Holy Spirit come down as a comforter. And the comforter in Greek is parakletos. So the paraklesis here in consolation is a similar word to parakletos. So he was expecting this comfort from the Lord, eagerly expecting and waiting for the consolation. So he wanted a peace and order that, according to the beliefs of Israelites, the Messiah was supposed to bring to the land. So in John chapter 16, Jesus speaks of the coming of the Comforter. He speaks of the Holy Spirit as another Comforter. Jesus, the Messiah, was the Comforter that the Jews so ardently awaited. Including Simeon. And you must know that there was an enormous messianic expectations in Israel in first century. And it's been written and documented in the historical documents. Ever since the Maccabean revolt and all the events of the Hanukkah, which resulted in the restoration of an independent Jewish state that lasted for almost 100 years, almost a century. There was a state where political and religious powers were concentrated in the hands of the country's spiritual leaders, the high priests. Shortly before the coming of Jesus, the struggle for power between contenders for the position of high priest led to the Romans being invited to settle the conflict. And what did they do? What they always do. They seized the country and stole their own elected puppets, rulers, one of whom was Herod the Great, an Idumean man, not even a Jew. So the Jews expected the Messiah, who would restore Israel's independence from Rome. But, as we know, Jesus was the Messiah, but not the political Messiah they expected. He came to free his people from the shackles of sin and death. He was a spiritual comforter and liberator. It was also mentioned three times that Simeon was filled with and led by the Holy Spirit here. The Spirit was upon him. The Spirit foretold his meeting with the Messiah, and the Spirit led him to this meeting. Apart from this passage in the scripture, we don't know much about Simeon. And all we know, beside the scripture, it's several legends, several traditions. Well, according to some of these traditions, Simeon was one of those 72 translators of the Hebrew Bible, which translation from Hebrew into Greek, the Greek language, the book that is known as Septuagint. This happened sometime between 2nd and 1st centuries BC. So Simeon was chosen by lot to translate the book of Isaiah. And according to legend, when Simeon was translating Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin will conceive and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. He doubted that it is possible, so he doubted that a virgin could give birth to a son. Therefore, the angel appeared before him and told him that he would not die until he personally saw this miracle. If that was the case, Then he must have been very, very old at the time when he saw Jesus. More than 100 years old, I guess. The Holy Spirit prepared him for the meeting with the Messiah. While working on the book of Isaiah, he became well aware of what Christ's ministry would be. That's why here he quotes Isaiah 42:6, in which God, addressing the Messiah, call him servant, in this chapter says, I, Jehovah, have called you in righteousness and will hold your name, will hold your hand, and will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations. And he continues in Isaiah 49:6 to speak of the Messiah. And he said, it is but a little thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations to be my salvation to the end of the earth. And another passage from Isaiah repeats the same idea in Isaiah 52:10. The Lord has bared his holy arm, which is describes God incarnate, the Messiah, bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And what did Simeon say when he met the baby Messiah? He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. I have seen Yeshua, God saves. So Joseph and Mary, hearing all this, marveled. They were amazed at what was said. Let's take a look at verses 33 to 35. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken by him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this one is set for all fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign spoken against, ye sword shall pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We see the fall and rise of many in Israel. There is a popular song that can often be heard on radio or TV at this time of year. Mary, did you know? Probably you heard this song. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? I really like this meme on the internet when somebody asks from the first person perspective, Mary, did you know? And somebody slapped them in the face. Of course she did. The angels have told her everything. Of course she did. The angels told her everything about this child, that this child would be the savior. Simeon says of the infant that he will be a stumbling block for some and the cause of resurrection for the others among the Jews. Apostle Paul in Romans 9:32-33 also talks about how Jesus becomes a stumbling block for the Jews who sought righteousness through the law. But everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Paul dedicates three whole chapters in Romans 9-11 to explaining that God continues to work with the people of Israel. And although it seems that Israel rejected the Messiah, which they did at the time, and they are being punished for that, for their unbelief, God has not rejected Israel. Their unbelief is temporary and for our own benefit as Gentiles. God has not rejected Israel. Their unbelief is temporary. The day will come when Jews will turn to the Savior in great numbers. And finally, we see in verses 33 to 38, the prophetess Anna. There was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in many days and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. and she was a widow of 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, serving God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming at that instant gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those in Jerusalem, eagerly expecting redemption. All we know about this woman, that she lived with her husband for 7 years, and after his death, she dedicated herself to serving God in the temple. She fasted and prayed a great deal of those. I'm sure that her prophetic ministry consisted of encouraging people about the coming Messiah. Now she personally saw the Savior. What did she do after she met him? She began to speak about him to all who were waiting for redemption in Jerusalem. So guess who was the first evangelist in this world? Anna, the prophetess. She became the first evangelist. Don't you want to tell the others about the Messiah? Jews and Gentiles, that he came to fulfill all the prophecies, to fulfill the law, for the redemption of people of Israel, and as a light to the Gentiles. So everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Jew and Gentile, will find salvation and eternal life. All it takes is to repent and rely on him, trust in him with all your heart. Let us remember that the most important gift that we could ever receive is gift that God has given us, redemption from sin and death, eternal life granted to us by grace, his grace through faith in the sacrifice of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for your redemption that you provided through Jesus, the Messiah. And we ask that in our hearts, in this holiday season, We can focus on what is really important beyond the gifts and presents and parties and family gatherings. We ask that you would make us just like Anna, eager to tell everybody that Jesus is the Messiah, that he came to save us, that he wants us to repent in our sins and turn our hearts to him and receive his grace and receive his mercy that he is abundantly given to everyone who believes. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is present with us and enabling us to go out and preach. I also pray for Reverend Anderson tomorrow as he goes out and sharing the gospel. Please open the doors. Please use him as your instrument to be effective by bringing your message and giving back to God with new, potentially new hearts opened for you, not by our wisdom or strength or abilities, but by your Holy Spirit working in the hearts of unbelievers. We thank you, Lord, for this time of year, for this worship, and we celebrate your presence with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.